Om Ganatimananda Syad Zana Zana Salakaya Chaksus Militan Zena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Zena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansa Kalpa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayabhacha Patitanam Pabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Why aren't Who can guess what I'm going to ask? I don't think anyone will be able to guess this one. Why aren't No one's even brave enough to put forward a wild answer to this. Why aren't we, or you, or I, an atheist? Why aren't you an atheist? Yes, thank you. What's your name?
Me.
Very good. Not we.
I.
Yes.
I am under Prabhupada's movement or
guidance. Wait, wait, no, this is a very interesting question. Were you an atheist before you were under Prabhupada's guidance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little means yes, partially at least. You weren't sure. And now you're sure. Yes? Do you have a cow ringtone you can change that to? If you have a cow ringtone, we'll all call you. Moo, moo. And no one will complain. And you?
I don't be happy that my being an atheist.
Why? I mean, there's so many atheists and they say they're happy.
I was not so happy.
Oh. And what makes you happy being an aspiring devotee of Krishna? Thank you. Anyone else like? Yes.
It is very boring.
Yeah, it's boring being an atheist. Hopeless. Yeah.
Well, why we are living then? There is no hope, no any future.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bright future.
No bright future. Okay, let me ask. Of course, there are many answers. Yes, this one, if we got really going, I bet it would take a long time for everyone to have their... Yes, but then we're going to move on to another interesting question.
Being atheist, I feel so cared for that. I have something, someone who's there to always care for me. And he's there for me.
So you feel the presence of Krishna caring for you?
Yeah.
How wonderful. Now, how much... Say, there's so many things that happen in life and every day where there's so much anxiety. Now,
we feel protection.
Excuse me?
We feel protection under Krishna.
Yes. How nice.
Yes, and that's why we
believe. No, but not we.
I.
Yes.
I
so you feel protected by Krishna.
Protected by Krishna.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Adam Krishandas.
Adam?
Krishandas.
What's the first part?
Atma Krishna
Das. What a wonderful name. What does that mean in English? Could you translate that?
I have never gone through this.
Yes.
Really,
but this is the first time then. How wonderful. Krishna will protect you. What does your name mean in English?
In English we can say...
What does it mean in Hindi then? Okay.
Atma Krishnadas. That's I am Das Krishnadas.
Yeah. And the Atma part?
Atma, that's my soul.
So your soul is?
Is Das Krishnadas.
Okay.
My soul is Krishna.
I am Krishnadas.
I am Krishna.
Yes. And also, that Krishna is the Atma of everything. Krishna is the Atma. He's even your Atma. As we call that Paramatma. But he's also the soul of the universe. He's also the soul of all. He's the essential soul of all religion. And therefore he is called Dharmatma. Yes? Yes? Okay. Thank you. Now I'm going to ask another difficult question. Well, that one was an easy one once everyone started thinking. But you didn't answer. How come? Why aren't you an atheist? Did you ever think of that question? How old are you?
14.
Prahlad Maharaj thought of that question when he was in the womb of his mother. And later on, his whole life he was seeing Krishna. Except sometimes Krishna would disappear from his vision and he couldn't see Krishna. And then he would cry and cry and cry. His relationship with Krishna was so close that when he wouldn't see Krishna, he would cry. And then when Krishna would come right back into his vision, he would laugh and be so happy. And then Krishna would leave his vision and he would cry. How long have you... What's your name?
Sharan.
Sharan.
Shorin.
Shorin. Shorin.
You have to understand that Western is a deaf when it comes to a lot of these sounds. Sorry, excuse me. I could say it's wonderful, but I'll get it right. No one will know. It's a wonderful name. What does your name mean? It means?
Courageous.
Wow. Is that a name of you or is that a name of Krishna? Yeah. Do you know what happened when Krishna was with Balaram and the cowherd boys one day? They were near Govardhan. And his mother thought that he was going to Bandiravan. Have you been to Bandiravan? No. What? He's never been to Bandir. How long have you been in the school, Prabhu? 2 years. And he's not been to Bandiravan. Please, could you take these boys to Bandir? Such a wonderful place. Wonderful place. Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys, they would go and herd the cows there. So many wonderful pastimes happen there. And there's a wonderful tree that the boys used to play under. And that tree at one point, now it's the son of the son of the son of that tree. But that tree at one point went from there all the way across the Yamuna. And the boys would climb on the branches of that tree. And they, when they were over the Yamuna, you know what they would do? You know what they would do? They would jump into the Yamuna that was full of lotus flowers and they were with Krishna. But one day Mother Yashoda thought that the boys were Krishna and the boys were going to Bandiravan, which is on the western side of the Yamuna, and she sent their lunch, Krishna's lunch there. But then Krishna went instead near Govardhan. And the boys were afraid that Krishna was hungry. So they said, "Oh, Krishna, we are feeling so hungry." But actually, they were thinking of Krishna's being hungry. But they were saying, "We are feeling so hungry." And nearby, there is a forest named Talavan. Have you been to Talavan? And the boys said, I have a habit of making jokes sometimes, so don't mind. And the boys said, in that forest there are tal trees. Have you ever seen a tal tree? Have you ever tasted tal fruit? Have you ever tasted tal fruit? Yeah? You like? Yeah. It has this. But anyway, and these fruits are ripe, and they are so fragrant. We can smell them from here. Oh, Krishna, we are feeling so hungry. But there is one problem. In that forest, no person can enter because of one asura named Dhanukasura. And he's in the shape of a donkey. But a very powerful. He's so powerful. He's the most powerful of donkeys. And no one can go there to taste the fruit even though they fall on the ground. And he's so envious that he can't eat them because he's an ass, a donkey. But he won't let anyone else eat them either. And he's so powerful. He's a Rakshasa. And he eats people too. And we are so hungry. And that fruit is so fragrant. But we cannot go there because of the powerful ass demon. And when Krishna and Balaram heard that the powerful demon was a donkey, they just began to laugh. Powerful demon donkey. We cannot go there because there's a powerful demon, a donkey. Balaram. And they just began to laugh. Now up until this time, Krishna had killed, because this takes place in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto. Up to this time, Krishna had killed, he had killed so many demons. Putana, Trinavart, so many demons he had killed. He had killed Bakasura, Vatsasura. But up to this time, Balaram has not even killed one demon. So Krishna thought, let Balaram have a chance for this one. So they all walked to the Talavan forest, and Balaram walked first. And when they got to the forest, Balaram grabbed a big tal tree, and he began to shake it back and forth until the fruits began to fall to the ground. And then that demon, Dhanukasura, understood that this was a challenge. And he became angry. So he rushed into that forest of Talavan. And he saw Balaram there. And he turned his back on Balaram, which is itself very insulting. And also, one doesn't want to insult Balaram. And then he began to kick Balaram with his hind legs, because that's the way that they're powerful, the hind legs. Powerful donkey. Compared to Krishna and Balaram. So he began to kick Balaram, and Balaram didn't even experience anything. He didn't move. And then he began to try to kick him again. And then with his left hand, Balaram, as he was kicking, because they go up on their front legs, and have you seen that? In Vrindavan, have you seen that? And they kick with their back legs. So Balaram, with his left hand, he grabbed this Dhanukasura, his back legs, and then began swinging him around and around and threw him into a tall tree. He was so courageous. Yes? Why aren't we impersonalists? Why aren't you an impersonalist, the absolutist? heard already why so many devotees aren't atheists, but why aren't you an impersonalist? Huh? Someone has to be guru. Yes. It's true. Because we have to learn. But why aren't we impersonalists? Think about that. Why aren't you an impersonalist? Would you care to venture an answer? A personal answer? Yeah, because Krishna's a person. That's the best answer. Yeah, we can't have a relationship with him if we're impersonalist and he's a person. It's like ignoring him or insulting him. He's there and he wants to have a relationship with us, and we say you don't have any eyes, you don't have any ears, you don't have any personality, you don't have any nature. So we're not atheists, we're not impersonalists, but we are aspiring to become Vaishnava personalists, devotees, who have an awakened relationship with Krishna. And the resonance of Vrindavan, their relationship with Krishna is so awakened that they love Krishna and can't think of anything other than Krishna. And the last demon that Krishna killed in his wonderful way was Kesi. Yes. And then, right after Krishna killed the Kesi demon, do you know where he went? He killed him in what place? Kesi Tirtha. And then, right after that, there is another gut, all right, before that on the Prakrama Mark, called Chirgat, and it's also known as Chirangat, and that's where Krishna rested after killing the Kesi demon. And then after that, Narada Muni came to Krishna. He had come to Kamsa, and he had told Kamsa that it is Krishna who is the child that is predicted to kill you. The child, the eighth child, the eighth garba, that the voice in the sky predicted would be your killer. That was not a girl child, a female child. That female child was the child of Yashoda. And your child, or the eighth child, born of Devaki Vasudev, was taken by Vasudev across the Yamuna and exchanged with that female child of Yashoda. You've been cheated by Vasudev. So Narada Muni wished to speed up this pastime. And he knew that the time had come for Krishna's Vrindavan Leela to end and for him now to move to Mathura and begin his Mathura Leela. So then, after speaking to Kamsa and after the Kesi demon, who was the foremost of Kamsa's demon allies, after he was killed by Krishna, Narada Muni went to see Krishna. And he had the task of telling Krishna, because Krishna was so absorbed in his Vrindavan pastimes that he wasn't personally inclined to leave. Because the love of the residents of Vrindavan was so great, he had no inclination to leave. But then Narada Muni said to him, now, there's quite a few verses, and the first three verses that Narada Muni speaks are all names of Krishna, practically speaking. They're all glorifying Krishna, his different aspects, the different aspects of his nature, of his activities, of his qualities. The first three verses describe Krishna's nature and his qualities. And then they, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other devotees, they have strung these verses together, the names of Krishna rather, together to explain different meanings, hidden meanings behind what Narada Muni is saying. And those, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But he says, Krishna Krishna Prameyatma Yogesha Jagadishwara Vasudeva Vasudev Akila Vasa Satvatam Pravaro Prabhu. And all the names that he calls Krishna at this particular time are subtly. What does subtly mean? Huh? Subtly means the opposite of subtle is gross or very, very obvious, but very subtle and indirect ways. All the names that he uses are, except for Krishna, Krishna. That's the first two words. It says Krishna, Krishna, Prameyatma, Yogesha Jagadishwara. All the names are subtly hints to Krishna that now it is the time for you to begin your Mathura Leela. So he that's the beginning. Krishna, Krishna, Prameyatma, Yogesha Jagadishwara. You remember that yet? Do you have it yet? Yogesha. Not Yogeshwara, but Yoga Isha. Well, same thing almost. Yeah. Do you all have that memorized yet? Yes? 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 No. Well, the first two words are really easy to remember. Krishna, Krishna. Okay. Everyone have that memorized? Let's try it. One, two, three. Krishna, Krishna. Very. Oh, some of us have gotten even more. Prameyatma Yogesha Jagadishwara. It really, it's just such nice poetry. So he says, I'll just read these the first two verses, and then we'll read the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. O Krishna, Krishna, unlimited Lord, source of all mystic power, Lord of the universe. So these are all, we would call these secondary names of Krishna, not his primary names, where his primary names are the names in relationship with his devotees more. But most of these are secondary names that have to do with him being the creator of the universe, etc. O Vasudev, shelter of all beings. And he calls them Satvatam Pravara Prabhu. Satvatam means the Yadu dynasty. Pravara means the best. So you are the best of the members of the Yadu dynasty. O Prabhu, O Master. You are the supreme soul of all created beings. This isn't how the residents of Vrindavan exactly call Krishna. But they know these things. They're aware of his position as the Supreme Lord. But they don't think of him in that way because their experience of Krishna is his sweetness and the sweetness of their relationship with Krishna. O Master, you are the supreme soul of all created beings. Sitting unseen within the cave of the heart, like the fire dormant, sleeping within, kindling wood. Fire is there, but you can't see it within the wood. And it takes a certain process to make the fire come from wood. So similarly, you are in the hearts of all living beings. You are the witness within everyone. Upadrastano mantitsa bhatta bhoktam heshvara. You are the Supreme Personality and you are the ultimate controlling deity. And then to the next verse, verse 12. You are the shelter of all souls. And being the Supreme Controller, you fulfill your desires simply by your will. By your desiring something, you have Icha Shakti and Satyasankalpa Shakti. That just by you wanting something, it happens. By your personal creative potency, you manifested in the beginning the primal modes of material nature. At the beginning of creation, as described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, there's the Pradhan. By the glance of Krishna, changes into Prakriti, and then the modes of material nature and false ego acts in conjunction with each of the three modes of material nature. And then you, through the modes of material nature and the combination of false ego and your glance, which activates, puts the souls within the material world, and therefore you are the Paramatma of everything, then you, through this, you create, maintain, and destroy the entire universe. So Krishna, this cowherd boy, who is herding the cows in Vrindavan, and laughing when his friends tell him that Dhanukasura is so powerful, a donkey, and playing with his friends, he's this creator of the entire universe. Now we say that the word creator of the universe just comes so easily out of our mouth, but just think of what it means. Everything that exists in this universe, the entire universe, comes from him. And then it is supported, its existence. We see things exist. This is just sitting here, the table. What is it resting on? It's resting on the straw mat, and the straw mat is resting on the concrete floor, and the concrete floor is resting on whatever is underneath it, and then that's resting on the earth. And the earth, what is the earth? Everything is resting on something else. What does the earth rest on? Okay, yeah, but... So, in other words, everything is resting on something else, but Krishna is the one that's maintaining, and he's the one that everything rests upon. And that's all done through his Vishnu potency, or not Vishnu potency, but Vishnu expansion, which is just his Kala Anksa, his part, plenary part, we would say. And Krishna, Stu, Bhagavan Swayam, everything in existence on the material level, the spiritual level, rests on him. And there he is, acting in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. So this is quite inconceivable. And Narada Muni is telling this to Krishna. You create and maintain and then destroy the universe, not directly yourself, but through your potencies, your shaktis, the modes of material nature. And you, that very same creator, have now descended on the earth, and now he's going to speak. He's trying to pull Krishna out of the mood of his loving relationship with the residents of Vrindavan. Now, this is a very difficult task. And one that, who would want to do this? He's pulling Krishna out of the loving relationship with his residents of Vrindavan and reminding him of the duties of that he has come to perform, to annihilate the Daitya, Pramatta, and Raksha demons who are posing as kings, and also Pritranaya Sadunam, to protect the godly. Now, we've heard so many of the different names that Narada Muni has called Krishna, and they all are very purposeful. They have a purpose. Now listen to what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has taken taken these names and put a thread through them and made a garland of very sweet meaning. Would you like to hear it? I thought so. First he says, what are the first two words, two names? Very good. Everyone gets 100% and passes completely. Class dismissed. You've passed. Narada called out Krishna's names how many times?
Twice.
Out of great bliss, while thinking himself as just a semblance of a devotee who praises the Lord by the sankirtan of his holy name, of his names. What does semblance mean? It's more the looks like, yeah. There's chaya and abhas. So abhas is the semblance and chaya is shadow. So it means the shadow has a resemblance. It's like the real object or the reflection. Like if we look in the glass, can you see any reflection in the glass here? What do you see? What do you see in the reflection of the glass? A clock. Is it the real clock? No. It's that's what a semblance is. It's like the clock, but it doesn't have the full substance that a clock has. Excuse me? It's semblance. It's like it. It resembles it. But it doesn't have the full power, the potency, the substance. So he's thinking himself, Narada Muni, who is he's Krishna's bhakti shakti, is thinking himself just a semblance of a devotee, resembles on the outside a devotee, but doesn't have the real substance of a devotee, who is praising the Lord by the sankirtan of his holy names, and yet he's calling out Krishna's name twice, Krishna, Krishna, out of great bliss. Now how could it be that Narada Muni is only thinking of himself just as a semblance, resembling a devotee, but not really a devotee? We could ask that question. How could Narada Muni be thinking like that? And then we could also ask the question, well then how could I be thinking of myself as a devotee? How long have you been a devotee, Prabhu? Well, for 20 years, 2 years, 5 years, 30 years. So how could it be that Narada Muni thinks himself the semblance of a devotee? I won't ask you to answer the question, why is it that I think myself a devotee? If you want, you could ask yourself that question. But why? How could Narada Muni be thinking of himself the semblance of a devotee? What does it mean to really be a devotee? And why is it that this kind of humility is so much a part of being an exalted devotee like Narada Muni? And pride, false pride, is so much a part of being a baby devotee, just So why is humility so much of a part? So much so that Srila Sanatana Goswami says that humility and prema are the same. Why is humility so much part of being a devotee? Yes, thank you. I was hoping someone would. It is beautiful. Now that's an answer from the heart. Thank you. Any other? Have you ever thought about that? How is it possible that Narada Muni could be thinking of himself the semblance of a devotee? How is it possible? Yes, because he's a devotee. Another answer from the heart. Yeah. That really answers the question. I can't argue with it either. But why is it that a devotee whose heart is like gold doesn't feel like that? Now, one answer I'll say that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni asked Krishna for a benediction that no matter how much bhakti a devotee has,
he asked the benediction that a devotee will never be satisfied with hearing your glories and hearing your holy name.
Yes, but that's not what I was talking about. He actually says something like how much ever a devotee has, he will never, of devotion, he will feel that it's not enough. He will never be satiated, feel that I've had enough, like sweet rice, you know, there's only so much you could eat, but devotional service isn't like that. And then Krishna answers, why is Narada Muni asking this, for this? And then he's... Yes, I like your ringtone anyway. And he answers, Krishna says, why is Narada Muni asking this? Because it's already true. Why is he asking for this benediction when he already knows that it's already there? Because the nature of devotional services and love for Krishna is the more that you have, simply the more you want to taste it. Like the residents of Vrindavan. When they're with him all day long, when the cowherd boys are with him all day long, when Krishna goes into his house at night, they go mad in ecstasy and can't stay away from him. They never become satiated. And Krishna replies, I know why. He's asking me this question just because he wants me to speak the glories of my devotional service. And then Krishna speaks about the glories of his devotional service. But why is it, we're so fortunate because your ringtone meant that it's time to go see the deities. But think about that. What is it in devotional service? The most clear golden heart of a devotee, he will feel himself lower than the straw in the street. Why is that? How is that possible? Is it imagined? He sees so many faults that aren't there? Or or he's seeing such subtle things in himself? What is it in the heart of a devotee that makes him feel so humble? And like the semblance of a devotee, and the symptom, the main symptom of a Mahabhagavata, the greatest devotee, is that he sees everyone else as a devotee and himself not as a devotee. And even Srimati Radharani, she will recommend, as Prabhupada explained it in one lecture in London, on Radhastami, he said, when you have a flower to offer, you place it in the hand of Srimati Radharani, don't give it to Krishna directly. And then Srimati Radharani will say, oh, your devotee has brought a flower for you, and this he's much better the devotee than me, you please accept it. And if you have the recommendation of Srimati Radharani, then everything is successful, Prabhupada explained. So Srimati Radharani is thinking, how is that possible? Ladini Shakti. So with that question we shall end, and tomorrow we will open with that question, and you will, my hope that you will have all thought about it and give me some very thoughtful answers. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai.